Certainly is a tremendous blessing to be here with you all. We love you all very much. We love your pastor and very thankful for him and very thankful for the other ministering servants that are here. And most of all, thankful that the Lord's here. I needed this meeting. And I thank the Lord for blessing me to be here. It's a blessing to share the stand with Elder Luke Addison, a dear friend and yoke fellow, and I appreciate that message so much. He stirred things in my mind that I had not thought of in that light before, and I thank the Lord for that message. Please pray for me. Pray for one another. If you have your Bibles, I'll invite you to turn to 1 John chapter 1. 1 John chapter 1. In verse 1, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled of the word of life. The Apostle John, there was probably nobody else in any more close fellowship with the Lord than John. The Lord Jesus had some disciples that were blessed to see some things that the other disciples did not see. It was Peter and James and John that were taken to see the blessing of Jairus' daughter raised from the dead. It was Peter and James and John that were blessed to go up on that Mount of Transfiguration where they saw their Lord Jesus Christ glorified and his face became white and glistering. They were blessed to see the glory of God. It was Peter and James and John that were invited to go a little farther in Gethsemane with their Savior and their Lord. John was blessed to have a very, very close fellowship with the Lord. And I don't think it's any accident that God Almighty, who these are His words, not John's, but that He blessed the beloved John to pen them. John addresses in this first chapter, this first verse, he confronts head on some lies and some falsehoods that already had become prevalent in the world at that time. Some of the first heresies that ever came forth was a denial of the Trinity. It was a denial of the deity of Christ, that Christ was God, and the denial of the humanity of Christ. And I'm going to tell you, John's going to hit those head on. And he's going to fight those lies with the truth. And that's still the way we fight lies today, is with the truth. I'm going to tell you, the Lord Jesus Christ valued the truth greatly. I'm reminded of what he said when he was talking there with Pilate right before his crucifixion. And Pilate asked him, "Art thou a king then?" And Jesus would say, "Thou sayest that I am a king." And that was actually a prophecy because Pilate was going to put a placard over the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ that would say, "Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews." So when he said, "Thou sayest I am a king," that was a direct prophecy because Pilate was going to declare that in three different languages. He said, "Thou sayest that I am a king." He said, for this cause came I into the world, that I might bear witness unto the truth. And everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice. The Lord Jesus said, the reason I came into the world is to bear witness unto the truth. Jesus would say in John chapter 14, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." The best way to battle the lies of this world, the best way to battle the falsehood of this world is with the truth. With the truth. John's going to do that right here. That which was from the beginning. He's talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. He said he didn't start in a manger in Bethlehem, but he was long before that. He is the eternal Son of God. He's the creator of the universe. John would emphasize that greatly in the book of John. We would say, in the beginning was the capital W word. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. He said He's the eternal Son of God. He's the creator of the universe, that which was from the beginning. Yes, there was a time when He was God manifest in the flesh. There was a time when He was conceived in the womb of the Virgin Mary by the Holy Spirit of God. But He was the eternal Son of God long before that. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon. Now, Brother Ronnie did a good job of emphasizing that sometimes the Bible repeats things for emphasis, but it's talking about the same thing. It looks like that he's repeating the exact same thing, but the second phrase is a little bit different than the first. Said that which we have heard, said with our own ears, we heard him. Can you imagine there being there with John and hearing the very words and the very voice of the Lord Jesus Christ as he preached? To hear the words he would say when he would heal the blind and give them sight, when he would heal the leper, when he would make the lame to walk and even make the dead to rise again, to actually hear the voice when he said, Lazarus, come forth. He said, we've heard him. We've heard him with our own ears. That which we have seen with our eyes. John says, I'm an eyewitness of his majesty. I'm an eyewitness to the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm an eyewitness to his preaching and to his healing and to all that he was. I'm an eyewitness. But then he said, which we have looked upon. That has the connotation of not only seeing him, but looking very closely at him. It's a close-up look. You know, it was a great blessing when me and Sister Emily began to date and I saw her. But I didn't just stop with seeing her. I wanted to see her close up. John was blessed to see close up his Savior and his Lord, to examine him, to be close to him, to see him very closely and very intimately. And he says, and our hands have handled of the word of life. He's talking about the Lord Jesus. The Lord Jesus is the word of life. He's the captain of your word. He's the very expression of God. He is God manifest in the flesh. And John describes him in this way. John was blessed to handle the Lord Jesus Christ. That particular Greek word is not mentioned but a few times in the New Testament. It's mentioned in the book of Acts at Mars Hill when it says, as haply we may feel after him. And John here has delineated because he's fixing to get into us having fellowship with them and the Lord. And he's getting into the aspects of fellowship. He said, we've heard him. We've seen him. We've seen him close up. And we've felt him. Our hands have handled the word of life. Can you imagine that? That's one of the things I look forward to when Jesus comes again. That these hands right here will be able to embrace my Savior and my Lord. I look forward to that day. I rejoice in thinking about that day. As Brother Ronnie was preaching about the kingly husband and us as his bride and us being in his arms, what a great and wonderful blessing that is. And when he comes again, we're going to experience that in a way we've never experienced it before. What a blessing that will be. You know, to have those experiences, John had to be close to the Lord. You know, if you look throughout the book of John, if you look through 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John, anytime you see the word John in the Gospel of John, it's talking about John the Baptist. John's name's never mentioned in the book of John, nor in 1st, 2nd, or 3rd John. But every time you see John referred to in the Gospel of John, the Gospel account of John, it's the disciple whom Jesus loved. And John's like, my name doesn't matter. But who loves me is who matters. The most important thing about John was not who he was or even what his ministry was, but who loved him. And the most important thing about us today is not our name or what physical family we may have come from. But the most important thing about us today is we're a disciple whom Jesus loves. What a blessing that is. But I'm going to tell you, for John to have had these experiences, John was to be close to the Lord. He was blessed to lean on the Lord's breast at supper. You know why he was able to do that? Because he was close to the Lord's breast. I may desire to embrace Sister Emily, but if she's too far away, I'm unable to embrace her. So how do I embrace her? I get close to her. And I'm going to tell you, there's times in our life where we don't feel as close to the Lord. And it's not because he's moved. It's because I've moved. If I want to lean on his breast at supper, I need to get close to his breast. I need to be by him. I need to be close to him. The Bible says, draw nigh to God, and he'll draw nigh to you. That's a promise from heaven. He said, for the life was manifested. The life. Again, he's talking about the Lord Jesus. Life personified. For the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness and show unto you that eternal life. You see, Jesus is more than the giver of eternal life. He is the giver of eternal life. That was quoted earlier. My sheep hear my voice. I know them, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life. He's the giver of eternal life to us, the sheep. But he is eternal life. I love what Jesus would say to Martha, the scene of the death of Lazarus. He said, thy brother shall rise again. She said, I know that he'll rise again at the last day. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. You see, Jesus not only has the power to raise the dead, Jesus is the resurrection of life. Jesus is eternal life. It says this life was manifest, became known. The light of the glorious gospel shined. You know, for 400 years before Jesus came, between the book of Malachi and the book of Matthew, there was a prophetic silence for 400 years. I'm going to tell you, when there's silence, it makes you greatly anticipate what's fixing to be said. I'm not going to do it for the sake of time, but if I was to pause for 120 seconds, y'all would first of all wondering, was I having a medical event or what's wrong with Brother Mark? But I guarantee you, if I did that, you'd be starkly paying attention to the first thing I said at the end of that silence. For 400 years between Malachi and the beginning of the New Testament, there had been silence. I almost envision it like one of those old-timey stages where the curtain has been drawn and everybody's anticipating for the event to begin. Here comes John the Baptist, the forerunner of the Lord Jesus Christ. Repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. You can't have a kingdom without a king. Jesus is saying, John's saying, the king is at hand. Repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven, the king is at hand. John the Baptist comes out preparing the way for the Lord Jesus. But the New Testament begins with the book of the generation of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. Here he is. And the curtain opens. John the Baptist is almost like the narrator that has come out in front of the curtain. And then the curtain opened, and here's the King of Kings. Here's the Lord of Lords. He was manifested. The light was manifested. And we have seen it and bear witness and show unto you that eternal life. Amen. Through the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, through the power of the Holy Spirit of God, we're blessed to preach the things that angels desire into. This life was manifested. We've seen it. For 400 years, the darkness and the quietness was blatantly obvious. But then Jesus comes. The curtain is drawn. The Son of God is here. God is manifest in the flesh. He comes to save us, His people, from their sins. Said, we've seen it. We bear witness. Amen and amen to what Brother Luke said about this is news that needs to be shared. So easy to share bad news. It ought to be much more easy to share the good news of Jesus Christ in this old dark world. He said that which was with the Father and was manifested unto us. You see, in between the lines of reading this, John's feeling of unworthiness. But he was manifested to us. We didn't deserve it. We were sinners arguing about who'd be the greatest. But he was manifested to us. That which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you. Again, he with the truth of the Scripture has boasted the Trinity by acknowledging God the Father, but yet also acknowledging God the Son here in this verse. That which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you. You know, a declaration's usually not in a whisper. But he said, we came preaching the gospel mightily. You know, one of the places where that word handle that I mentioned earlier is used is after Jesus has risen from the dead. And he said, he appears unto his disciples. They had previously been in despondency, not believing that Jesus was alive. He had told them, at least three times in the book of Matthew. I'm going to be crucified. I'm going to die on the cross of Calvary. I'm going to be delivered into the hands of men. But on the third day, I will rise again. And he said that three times in close chapters in the book of Matthew. You know, if it's in one gospel account, it's not speaking of the same things, but he said it at least three times. I will rise again. I will rise again on the third day. But it went over their heads. They didn't remember it. They didn't believe it. And they were in despondency. We see two of them on the road to Emmaus talking about him as the has-been Redeemer, as the has-been prophet. We suppose that he would have been the one that should have redeemed Israel. But now he's died and all of our hopes are gone. But when Jesus appeared unto them, they saw that Jesus wasn't gone, but that Jesus was with them. It made all the difference in the world. Jesus appeared and he said, touch me, handle me. See that as I myself, a spirit, hath not flesh and bones as ye see me have. And he said, touch me, embrace me, handle me, be with me, fellowship with me, eat with me. When they saw that Jesus was alive, they were made to understand that what he did on the cross of Calvary was not a defeat, it was not a failure, but the greatest victory that's ever been won. And it changed everything about them. These men that were in despondency began to have great joy because they realized that Jesus was with them. They were able to embrace him and hug him and see him and hear him and be with him. And it changed everything. These men that had been cowering in the upper room, afraid of the governmental authorities, became as bold as lions. And they preached the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ wherever they could go. They locked them up, no problem. As soon as they got out, they'd be preaching the gospel again. He said, that which we have heard, we declare unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with the Son, Jesus Christ. See, some could have been reading John's words and said, John, you were able to have that fellowship with the Lord. You were able to walk with him and to see and to follow him and seal him through all the healings that he did and all the lives that he changed by the healing power of the Son of God. You were able to see that. But that's not for us. We can't do that because he's now in heaven. And John declares unto them, you can have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with the Son, Jesus Christ. He breaks forth into the doctrine of the Trinity, the Father and the Son. With the truth, he dashes that false idea, that lie from Satan of not believing in the Trinity, of God manifesting himself in three persons. He boasts the divinity of Christ and the humanity of Christ there. John chapter 1, it says that capital W word was made flesh. And he dwelled, that is, he tabernacled among us. And he's still doing that today. You know, after Jesus ascended into heaven, you might would think that because Jesus had ascended into heaven, that the disciples and the apostles would have been in despondency and worry. But they weren't. The end of the gospel accounts, in one place it said, the Lord was working with them. You know what that means? The Lord was with them and was working with them. In another place, it said they went on their way with great joy. Why? Because they were still blessed to fellowship with the Lord, their Master and their Redeemer. No, it's not with these eyes. This eye's not seen. This physical ear's not heard. These physical hands have not felt. But I'll tell you, through spiritual eyes and eye faith, we've been blessed to see. We've been given spiritual ears to hear the voice of the Son of God and to hear Him speaking to us in our life and in the gospel preaching and in His Word. We've been blessed spiritually to feel the touch of His gentle hand. We've been blessed to happily feel after Him and to touch Him and to embrace Him. He said, "We declare this unto you, and you truly, our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. And we can all have fellowship together." I couldn't help as I read this account, but my mind going back to the prodigal son, Luke chapter 15. We know the account where the son asked the father, he said, "Give me the portion of goods that fallen to me. Father, I don't want to wait till you die. Give me it now." And the father gave him of his substance. The Bible said he went to a far country. He was every bit as much of his father's son when he was in the far country. The relationship was there. That was still his father. He was still his son, but he was in a far country. Could he lean on his father's breast? No. Could he look upon his father every night? Could he hear his father's voice? Could he embrace his father? No. You see, he left the father's house because he thought he could find fullness in the world. But he goes. The Bible said there began to be a famine in the land where he was, in that far off country, away from the father's house. He found himself empty and destitute with nothing. The Bible said he would have had filled his belly. He was empty with the husk that the swine did eat. But no man gave unto him anything. And he came to himself. He goes back to his father. He said, "Father, I've sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and I'm no longer worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants." But his father was looking for him. I'm sure as his son came over that hill, his father, the Bible says, saw him afar off. The father runs to him. Falls on his neck and kisses him. He said, "Bring hither the best robe. Put it on him. Bring a ring for his hand and shoes for his feet. And kill the fatted calf and let us eat. For this my son was dead. Not physically. But he had been dead for a while from the fellowship of his father. He was still his son. But from the fellowship of the Father, this my son was dead. He's alive again. He was lost, but now he's found." Look at the grace of the Father. He could have said, "Son, I love you. Son, I'll clothe you. Son, I'll feed you, but your table's out there in the outer parts." He said, "Let us eat together. Son, your place is at my table, right next to me." You see, the Lord prepares us a table in the house of God. The psalmist said, "He prepares a table before us in the presence of our enemies. He anoints our head with oil." The Lord is here. He doesn't send us to a table in the Father's house, but He's not present. But he says, "Sit right here." I'm sure Peter felt like a prodigal son. After he denied even three times that he knew the Lord. He had made that great boast, though all men forsake thee, I'll never forsake thee. I'll come to my death for you. But he got scared. He should have been closer to Jesus, but he was by the enemy's fire. He got afraid. And he denied even three times, I don't know him. The last time with a curse on his lips. The Bible said the Lord turned and looked upon Peter. A look of love. I don't know what all may have gone through Peter's mind when he got that look. But I think I've gotten that look at times. What about y'all? When we've denied our Savior and our Lord, maybe not with our lips directly, but by our actions we acted like we didn't know him. Then the Lord Jesus appears on the land. He's risen from the dead. He's appeared on the land. They've been out fishing. And the Lord Jesus cries and says, children, have you any meat? They said, no. He said, cast on the right side and ye shall find. When they did that, they enclosed a multitude of fishes. John was there. It refers to him in that spot again as the disciple Jesus loved. He tells Peter, that's Jesus. We've seen this before. Nobody can do this but our Jesus. Peter jumps out. He's a rough fisherman, didn't have on any clothes. He girts a fisher's coat around him. He begins to swim as fast as he can to the Lord Jesus. Would he still have a place at the Lord's table? Would he be received? I'm sure those thoughts flooded his mind. When he gets to the bank, Jesus is coming down. You still got a place at my table, Peter. Let us eat. Truly, our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and with one another. We're blessed to be at the table with Him together. When our hearts have ever felt cold from our Lord, we need to get closer to the Father's house. Maybe we've gone off into a far country. Maybe we're not in a far country, but we're far enough away from Him that we can't lean on His breast and suffer. To get close to our Savior and our Lord. He said, these things write we unto you, that your joy might be full. You see, people look for fullness in the world, but in the world is emptiness. But I'll tell you, in the Lord there is fullness of joy. In the Lord there is filling. I love in Acts chapter 2 when they were all with one accord in one place and the Holy Spirit comes down. It's the sound of a rushing mighty wind. And it filled all the house. But it also, in the next verse, will tell you it filled each one. He's able to fill us. Fill me now. Fill me now. Jesus, come. And fill me now. In this time of COVID, I'm a hugger. I love to touch. I love to embrace the people of God. And this time has been hard on me. But even in the midst of the toughest times of COVID, we're still in a spiritual way, able to see with an eye of faith, hear with the spiritual ear, and embrace and to happily feel after our Lord, our Savior, our Master, and our Redeemer, and feel the touch of His gentle hand. He's not bound. May we stay close to Him. May we draw nigh to Him. He'll draw nigh to us. Our joy is full in the Lord. We stay close to Him. May God richly bless you, is my prayer.